Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back with you. And our prayers are going out to Pastor Bob Canode. Today, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. So let me read that for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, this one day in seven, when we can separate ourselves from the world, when we can find our refuge in you, when we can rest in your love, that we can rest in our relationship, that we can rest in the Spirit that lives in us. And Father, I pray that today you would open up your word for us to hear, to understand, and that you would grow us closer to you by understanding you more, and by loving you more. In Jesus' name, amen. So what we have here in this passage is this contrast between light and dark. Now, of course, we all know the difference between light and darkness. Here, though, we have this. Paul is demonstrating this extreme contrast between the two, between light and dark. And we may say things like, it's as different as night and day. Or the difference is black and white. Those kind of things. And we say these things to draw attention to the obvious contrast between two things or two options. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's using the more common biblical language of light and dark, which we see throughout the scriptures. In the Old Testament and the New, Jesus used it. Paul was used it often in his writings. The symbolism of light and darkness is rich, and it helps us understand the very basic truths of righteousness. In a very rational sense, light means truth. And then in a moral and ethical sense, it means holiness in the scriptures. Therefore, to live in the light, or to be light, as we're told here, is to live a life of truth and holiness or righteousness. Now, in darkness, on the other hand, the rational sense of darkness means ignorance. A lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, ignorance. But in the biblical and the moral sense, it means evil. Therefore, living in darkness is living in ignorance and in evil. Now, ignorance is that those who are not born again, those who God has not given us the light, we do not have the Spirit living in us. In ignorance, we see the world totally different. As a matter of fact, it's like this. It's like if you walk into a room and it's just pitch black. You can't see anything. And you stumble your way through this room. What you're doing is in your mind, you're imagining where things might be in this room. But it's all coming from your mind. You can't see any of it. But when you turn the light on and then there's light, suddenly you see the room as it really is, as it truly is. You see the truth, as it were. You see the truth of this room. That's the difference between someone walking in the darkness. They're walking in what is their imagination of what things would should be. Whereas walking in the light, you're walking in what how God has revealed reality to be. Light in a room reveals reality, and light in our world and in our lives reveals the reality around us. In Revelation 12:9, it calls Satan the deceiver of the whole world. So, as a deceiver, he deceives the world. They walk in ignorance because they don't know the truth. The deception is the opposite of truth. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6, it says this: "And even if our gospel is veiled, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So when we see the world through the Spirit, understanding Christ, who Christ is, we have this relationship with Christ. We see reality. We see it as it really is. Understanding that unbelievers are deceived. And they do not see reality. They see their version of what things ought to be, rather than the reality. So we have this ignorance of reality. And according to the Scriptures, that's evil in their hearts. They're deceived by Satan. They're deceived by the evil. So that's evil in their hearts. In verse 12, it says, "It is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret." In Romans 13, verses 12 through 13, it says, "The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy." So as we contrast these two, the light and the darkness, we see in this scripture that it has a before and after here. In verse 8, this is back in Ephesians 5, in verse 8, our first verse, it says, "For at one time you were darkness, and now you are light in the Lord." So we've got this past. You were darkness, but now you are light. And we understand this experientially because we've been through it. We were darkness. In Ephesians 2:1, Paul says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which in times past we walked according to the course of this world. So it is a contrast between what we see in our life past and what we are in our present life, from darkness to light. Notice that the text here says, "At one time you were darkness, and now you are light." And if Ephesians 2:5 says this: "But God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved." This is essential. So is this working? I guess it is. I'm going to take this off then, if that's okay. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said this. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then in verse 15 and 16 it says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. So what's the option there? The option is not to be light or not be light. You are light. That's what Jesus is saying. You are light. The option is whether you shine or not, or whether you repress this light, whether you hide it from others. Are you hiding your light from others? Or are you letting it shine? Let it shine out. And we said that darkness is ignorance and evil. We also need to know that the result of this darkness for those of the world who are unbelievers, it is this in Matthew 8:12. They will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this darkness as unbelief in Christ Jesus, this darkness that they are, will continue for eternity in outer darkness. And we're all born in darkness. And we are in darkness until Christ until God gives us new light by His Spirit in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us, talking about God, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. It doesn't say the kingdom of light. That's inferred. It's the kingdom. Light is the kingdom of His beloved Son. Light is the kingdom of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We all walked in darkness. We were darkness. But God gave us life and made us light in Christ Jesus by His grace, by His power, and by His mercy. So what is the fruit of this light? In verses 9 and 10 of our Ephesians 5, 9 and 10, it says, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and truth. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. In 1 John 5, 7, it says this way, but if we walk in the light and He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. In John 8:12, Jesus says, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We're told that we are light. So, as light, we walk as children of the light. We will inevitably display the essence or the character of who we are. When I was in Colombia, in South America, I wore Colombian clothes. I had a Colombian car. Everything about me was Colombian. I spoke Colombian Spanish. I taught in Colombian Spanish. I preached in Colombian Spanish. And so I asked one of the Colombians, how everybody seems to know that I'm not Colombian. How do they know? And he said, we can spot an American from a mile away. It doesn't matter how you're dressed. It doesn't matter what you're driving. It doesn't matter none of that matters. What matters is how you are. I said, well, how am I? How am I different than you? He said, for one thing, you walk with your hands in your pocket. Colombians don't do that. They never walk with their hands in their pocket. They're always ready in case they fall on a hole in the sidewalk or something. He said, another thing is you look forward and you're going straight. You have a destiny and you're going to that destiny no matter what happens around you. Colombians are relational and they interact and they walk together. Americans walk alone. Another thing they said, this is the most obvious of all, is you're always doing this. What time is it? And we have to have a schedule for everything. So he said, it's our character. That's what reveals us. It doesn't matter what I wear or how I speak. It's my character. And that's the way we are as light. As light, our character that Christ has given us, the Spirit of God living inside of us, shines forth to those around us. And it works the other way as well. Someone may say that they're a Christian, just like I might say that I'm Colombian, but everybody knows that's not true. Why? Because of my character. So if someone says he's a Christian, but then lives like a demon, we know his profession is false. In the same way, our nature is revealed in our walk, how we live. So what is this fruit? Notice it says that there is fruit of light. And it contrasts with, notice it says the fruit of light. But then when it talks about the darkness, it calls it something different. It says the unfruitful works of darkness. And we see these examples of these unfruitful works of darkness earlier in this very same chapter. In chapter 5, in verses 3 through 5, it says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So this describes the works of unrighteousness, the works of the darkness. But what about the light? And we're given these three words. In the light, it's good. The works will be good and right and true. Now, this term good is fascinating in that it is our relationship with others. It's how we treat others. Goodness. We are generous. We help others. We think of others. We love others around us and we're gentle in our spirit with others. And right, this is this condition that is acceptable to God. It's the character of being right or being just before our holy and righteous God. It's a right relationship with God. So we have goodness, being good with others, being generous and gentle and kindness with others. And then we've got this right, which is righteousness with God. And then finally, we have true. And this is the ability to see reality around us. It is truth. And remember, we said in darkness, you can't see that. So you invent your own truth or you're deceived by Satan into an untruth, something that's not real. And as Christians, we see what's around us. We see the truth in the light and we walk in that. And this corresponds real nicely with with Galatians 5:22 and 23. And the fruit of the Spirit, where Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those are the fruit that we will display if we are true Christians, as Christians in light. Now, does this mean that we will always be righteous, good, and true? No, we fail. As Christians, one of the things I like to think of as a Christian, it's like a diamond. When you find a diamond in the rough, it doesn't look like much. It's pretty ugly, actually, as a rock. But then as it's refined, and as God, as the diamond is refined by experts and cut into this gemstone, it becomes something of beauty. Nevertheless, there are still flaws within these diamonds. But it's still a diamond, and it's still valuable, and it is still beautiful, and it's still wonderful. And that's the way it is with us as Christians. We're not perfect. We do sin. And we need the light of each other to show the light of those flaws that are in our character. As we gather together, as we are a community in Christ, a community of Christians, all of our lights shining, it reveals and exposes these dark spots in us. And it leads us to repentance. And then repentance purifies. And we become brighter. So then we also have this verse 11, which talks about the fellowship with darkness. It says, take no part in verse 11 of Ephesians 5. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Now, as I said, this is exposing them in each other as well. But it's also exposing the world. In the world. In earlier in chapter 5, in verses 6 and 7, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15, Paul said it this way. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? It's not saying that we won't have any relationship with any of them. With anyone else outside this room, outside of our brothers and sisters, our little holy huddle. It's not what it's saying. It's saying that our relationship with those outside, those who are unbelievers, is different. We see the truth. We know that they do not. Our relationship with them should be guarded, for one thing. Their philosophies of the world, they are convinced are true, and their philosophies, their worldly philosophies of how of right and wrong and way things should be and shouldn't be, they will try to convince us of that. And if we're not careful, we could be deceived. So it's not saying we go to work, we go to school, we go to the grocery store. We're with these people all the time, wherever we go. But we're not to be partnered with them. And the idea of associated with them is like a business association. We're not to be partnered with them. And we have to be careful not to fellowship with them in their sinfulness or in their sins or in their wrong philosophies of the world. We have to understand that they're blind to the righteousness of Christ. And we, on the other hand, are absorbed in it. We are light. Therefore, the relationship would be totally different from them on the foundation, the very foundation of truth and understanding and righteousness. But in our relations with others, we are to reveal our light And in this, we expose the truth to them. We show them the light. And this exposes their evil works. Now, when their evil works are exposed, expect them to be angry. They don't want it to be exposed. The darkness does not like the light. But we are to show them righteousness without participating in their sin or entertaining any part of their worldview. In 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 3, this is fascinating because Paul is saying the same thing, that do not associate with others. But here puts this caveat in verse 10. He says, not all meaning the sexually immoral, greedy, swindlers, or idolaters of this world. So he's saying that when he's saying not to associate with them, he's not saying those that are sinful, those sinners who are not believers. Because he says, since you would have to go out of the world. What he's saying is, we live in a world that's full of sinners, full of unbelievers. We cannot escape that, but we are to let our light shine wherever we go. Verse 11 says that we are to expose them, which means to expose their evil works, to expose the darkness of their understanding. And darkness cannot withstand the light. John 1, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not, the darkness has not overcome it. We're all exposed to evil and to spiritual darkness all around us. We see it. We live in it. Sometimes just the way that we live exposes evil and sin in those around us. Have you ever walked into a room, we're having a filthy or foul conversation, and as soon as you walk in, they hush and it becomes quiet? They may even giggle because they know you're different. They know you're different, and it exposes their sinfulness, exposes their sin. There's a young Asian lady that I used to know, and she's a young Asian Christian. By young, I mean she was fresh out of college, and she got this job with this huge corporation. I'm not going to tell you the name of it because you would recognize it. Maybe you do business with them. But this huge corporation, this international corporation, and she was Asian, so she had she got a job as a lower level, more or less a grunt, with the international agency. And what her job was, she worked with this team who put together the conferences for these groups of leaders for this huge company. Now, she didn't do any of the programming or any of that stuff. What she did was the more the grunt level stuff, where she would do logistics. You make sure that the hotel or the banquet room or wherever they were meeting was ready for them to come. To make sure that whoever was coming to these conventions had a room to stay in at the hotel and those kind of things. So she was more of a grunt level. And she said that at their first convention that she was a part of, the very first convention when she was a part of it, they had this one night that was entertainment. And she saw the program and she thought, what is this? It's just entertainment. Dinner and entertainment. So she goes in and she's sitting at a table with some of the fellow workers or whatever. She's sitting at this table and the entertainment started, and it was exotic dancers, striptease. And she couldn't stand this. She was a young Christian and she got up and she walked out. And when she left the banquet hall and she went to her room, after the thing was over, after that evening was over, there was a knock on her door, and it was her boss, the one that was heading up all of the programming and everything of this team. And she told her not to ever do that again. If you ever walk out on any of these again, there will be strict consequences. So then the next convention, I think the next, that one was, I think, in Manila. The next one was supposed to be in Taiwan. So she goes to this next convention. And again, she had no idea what was going to be going on. She's just setting up tables and stuff. But she was ready because they did have the same thing, a night of entertainment with dinner. So she gets ready. She sits at the back of the thing, at the back of this banquet hall, close to the big double doors, so she can escape quietly and no one would see her. And as she's sitting there alone at one of these tables, one of these big round tables, a man walks in and looks at her and he says, "Young lady, will you come and sit with us?" This man, she recognized, was the CEO of the corporation. And she said, "I had a choice. I can either tell the CEO, no, I don't want to sit with you, or yes, I will come." She reluctantly said yes. She went and she sat at this table. Now, what she didn't realize at that point was this was the power table. It had the CEO, the CFO, had all of the powerful men in this organization were at this one table. And this was the night for the entertainment. And sure enough, as the entertainment started, these young girls get up on stage for another striptease show, exotic dancers. This time, though, it's even worse. These girls, Asian girls, and she's Asian, she recognized, she said they were ages 13 to 15. And they were going to be entertaining all of these old men. And she just groaned. Well, she was sitting next to the CEO. And he looked at her and he said, "Look, if you're uncomfortable with this, you can leave." So she did. She said she would have left anyway. But it was nice to have his permission. So she gets up and she leaves the room. And she goes to her room and she's there about 20 minutes. And she's hungry because she didn't get to eat dinner. She didn't stay for the dinner. So she goes down to the sandwich shop. And as she's going to the sandwich shop, she walks by the banquet hall where this convention was going on. And it's empty. In 15 or 20 minutes, it's empty. There's no one there. Nothing going on. She goes on to the sandwich shop and she sees one of her fellow workers. And she said, "What's going on? The banquet hall is empty." And he said, "Yeah, haven't you heard? When you left, everyone saw it. And the CEO left right behind you. And the CFO right after him. And the entire power table was vacated. And immediately the whole thing was shut down." She let her light shine. As difficult as it was, she let her light shine in the darkness. It takes courage. Now, it could have gone just as well the other way. As a matter of fact, that night, when everything canceled down, that same lady, Miss Lucy, I think she called her. Anyway, the head of this group, this team, knocked on her door and said that she would meet with her the next morning in the office and there would be dire consequences. So the next morning in the office, this young Asian girl, fresh out of college, first job, knew she was going to be fired. And she knew that if she wasn't fired, she'd probably have to quit. She couldn't go on with this. And so she shows up to the office dreading that morning. Of course, she got no sleep the night before. She shows up in the office and the late Miss Lucy wasn't there. And she thought, "What's going on?" And so she asked one of her fellow workers, "Where's Miss Lucy?" They said, "Oh, haven't you heard? The CEO called and fired her." She made a difference simply by living her conviction. That's the way our life should be. Our culture, the culture around us, even here in the United States, is deteriorating rapidly. We can see it happening. We have within us the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let it shine. Live our convictions. It may be uncomfortable. And things may not go as well as it did for this young Asian lady. They may fire you. But we need to live it anyway. Live our convictions. That's living in the light. Our first duty is to walk in the light because we are light. Let's pray.